Keep you in the dark. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sketchbook Audio, and I'm your host, Ryan Sketch. That is Foo Fighters, The Pretender, one of my favorite songs by them. I want to get into this whole background music thing a little bit more. And to kick that off, Anchor is now part of Spotify. I don't necessarily know what that means. They had a press release on it recently, but we're going to find out more about that in the near future. Hopefully next Tuesday or sometime this weekend, I will be able to bring more light to that situation because I'm excited. Spotify is the provider of all the music that is on Anchor or that you can use on Anchor without there being any sort of penalty. So that said, thank you Foo Fighters for that lovely introduction. Anywho, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but for one of the reasons why I hadn't done an episode on Tuesday was because on Thursday, we had the Chicago Auto Show start. And to kick off the Chicago Auto Show, three automakers decided that it was going to be in everybody's best interest to build these massive giant trucks with all chrome front ends, with the exception of Chevy. And whether that's good or bad, we will find out. That's the whole point of this conversation today, is to determine how much chrome is too much. Now, you're really only going to get my opinion on this one because I'm the only one here right now. But my opinion counts. That's all I have to say. I'm going to post some pictures up on Sketchbook Audio, Sketchbook _ Audio on Instagram so you guys can see the difference of all three vehicles. And you tell me which one you like or dislike the most. Starting with Ram. Now, Ram thought, and I think they did a phenomenal job with this, it just happens to be one of the few things that I dislike in the automotive world, but they decided that they were just going to hit you with as much chrome as possible. In fact, when you see one of these behind you, and I have a couple of the neighbors that live down the street have pre-production models, and I've been able to see them without their covers for a little while now prior to the Chicago Auto Show, but they have all chrome in the front end. There is zero color anywhere. And when you see one of these things behind you at 50 miles per hour, there's a sense of urgency to get out of its way. I don't know if it's just because of how big the vehicle is compared to my tiny little Range Rover Evoque, or just because it's just this massive sea of reflecting chrome that's just, it's like an aura of light shining on you, like the truck gods are telling you, get the F out of the way, or I'm going to run you over. And it could. I am fairly certain a Ram 2500 or larger would just decimate my vehicle, for better or for worse. Going over to Chevy now. They decided they were going to do something a little bit different. They incorporated their fender flares into the grill. Now, it kind of looks like tusks in a way, or like a reverse saber-toothed tiger, but I dig it. I like it. I don't know why. I just do. I'm just going to tell you I like it and leave it at that. Part of it is probably because, yes, it's a big, giant, almost perfectly rectangular grill with a bar in the center that in big bold letters lets you know that it's a Chevy if you didn't know it already. And by that I mean Chevy has always split their headlights. So the top piece and the bottom piece of the headlights have always had a horizontal bar stretching from one end to the other to let you know, that this is a Chevy. And they also did that to differentiate themselves from their twin over at GMC with the Sierra. Sierra's had basically a rectangular grill as well, but their headlights sort of flank the outside of the grill and they aren't part of the grill. So Chevy took it upon themselves to incorporate the headlights into the grill and also throw in that big expansive horizontal bar. Now, one of the reasons why they do that though, having a long horizontal form or shape on something is to show how, and then this is also explains why there's chrome bars on the tailgate or on the front of a car. The longer it is, or the wider it is, the wider it makes the car appear. So with the Pacifica, with the Chrysler 200, with some of the Genesis vehicles, and of course with Chevy, that horizontal bar makes it look like the truck is a lot wider than it actually is, or makes the grill look a lot wider than it actually is. And it's smart because it gives you a false perception of space. And it works for them because, you know, the truck is still around and it hasn't changed in its general language for a very long time. I'm not going to get into the interiors because I'll just keep it simple. Ram has the best interior, hands down. The materials are better. The layout is better. You know, I don't want to get into that. I just feel like when you get into the Chevys and the GMC, it's not cohesive to me. And I don't want to, on this episode anyways, we'll probably do it on the next episode. In fact, that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to spend the whole episode breaking down what is cohesive about the interiors of a Ram versus a Chevy versus the GMC. And which, by the way, the GMC and the Chevy interiors are identical. The only thing that's different is the material quality on the GMC is supposedly better. I've been in both and I felt like they were identical. But it's a good truck. I can't say it's a bad truck. You either like or you dislike the interiors. It's as simple as that. But if you're a Chevy fan, you're not going to buy the Ram. And if you're Chevy money, you're not going to be able to afford the GMC. Vice versa, if you're a GMC guy, you're not, you know, going cheap and buying the Chevy or giving up your love for GMC for a Ram or a Ford, for that matter. So that's the thing with trucks is, like, people who own the trucks are diehards, and they rarely ever go into, you know, their competition. However, I will say that across the street from me, where there is a Chrysler FCA dealership, I see a lot of Chevy Silverados and a lot of F-150s being traded in for the new Ram. And my guess is because people got tired of the F-150's all aluminum bodies. We could talk about that in another episode because that is a very big thing. Or they just, you know, they thought that the Ram had a much better interior. Here's the thing. Ram was tasked with making the best truck, period. And possibly even the best vehicle, period, for the money. When they sought out to redesign the DS body style and move to the DT, they were told, don't look at the competition. Don't look at the direct competition. Don't look at Ford and GM. You know, we can beat them where it matters in fuel economy, in torque, and in horsepower and cargo and all that stuff. Or we could come close, or we could be on par. But where it really is going to matter is fit and finish, material usage, and just overall interior design and the feel of it. So instead of comparing themselves to, domestic vehicles, let alone trucks, they were tasked with benchmarking against Audi and BMW and some of the high-end luxury vehicles. And let me rephrase that. Mercedes and Audi and BMW are, for the most part, mid-luxury. That includes Lexus as well, and Infiniti. They're that mid-level. The high-end is when you get into, like, the AMGs or the M-Series or the Maybach or just anything that's, like, 90 grand and above starting price. So I don't want to mince words here, but the idea was to make a Ram that was on par with and or better in gap, fit and finish, material usage, ergonomics, better than the Audis, the BMWs, and the Mercedes. And I think they did it. get inside a new RAM and you'd think I was sponsored by RAM at this point, or, you know, FCA in general, because I brag about the vehicle so much, but it's just, it is the way it is. You get in a RAM now and the game has completely changed. A couple years ago, yes, automakers were starting to really get into this luxury car market, and there are people who are making millions of dollars who are buying these high-end F-150 Limiteds or Platinums, the GMC Denalis, the Silverado High Country, and the Ram Limiteds, and they don't even care about the price tag. It doesn't matter. $60,000, who cares? Whatever. I could have bought a BMW 7 Series, or I could have bought a Mercedes S-Class AMG. But I didn't want a big sedan. I wanted a massive freaking truck that actually had cargo space. You know, nobody's cargoing anything in one of those high-end Mercedes, Audi, or BMW sedans. They'll buy the SUVs for that, but even those are limited. You can't really take them off-road. You can't, you know, beat them up and feel okay about it. Whereas a truck, you can't. One nice thing about a truck is you can take the truck bed off and replace it with a new one pretty easily. And that's usually what people beat the crap out of, the bumpers and the bed. You can replace those fairly easily. It's much cheaper than the cost of buying a new vehicle or having to deal with a lot of the expensive exotic materials in some of the high-end luxury vehicles. So there's a perk. And definitely a lot of pros to owning a truck, especially if it's, you know, it's got all the luxury appointments. GMC is the next truck that I wanted to go over. I really appreciate what they did for the overall body of the vehicle. They definitely completely changed their design language for a truck. It's just their front end, the grill. It was like a study in how to make a square not square, or rectangular not rectangular. And pardon me, allergies. See, I can't edit this stuff out yet. I don't have the tools yet to sit here and edit this out, nor do the time. In most podcasts, you probably wouldn't hear the sneezes, but mine, too bad, you're going to deal with real life. You look at the GMC, and I give them A for effort. They made a lot of really interesting shapes. I think it's a little bit overdone. I think they could have gone a little bit more traditional with their front end, just to not play it safe, but just keep GMC the way it's been. And to make it a little bit more elegant, this, it's not bad. I'm not going to say it's bad. I like it. I really do. And I love the dual snorkel hood. It's kind of like how the Challenger Red Eye snorkel hood is, but it's all in one. So it's like the Demon's hood scoop on the Challenger had a baby with the Red Eye. And that's what their hood scoop looked like. And I like it. I think it's cool. I also really like their use of color. Where Chevy used a crap ton of chrome and Ram used nothing but chrome, GMC used what looks like sort of a black chrome with not chrome. It's like a sterling silver. And then the red accents. And I really think they just knocked it out of the park. It's very unique. It's very expressive, and you know, it's a fun design. It's a cool truck. I would totally buy one if the interior matched the price tag, because the interior is the exact same interior that is in the Silverado, and I don't like that. It's funny how the body is 100% different from the Silverados, but the interior is 100% the same. And maybe not 100%, but 95%. I don't know. That might just be splitting hairs. It's also an all black interior for most of them. Most of their trim levels are an all black interior. Chevy has some different colors. Ford definitely has some different color combinations. And Ford's heavy-duty series trucks, they've always been different from their F-150 series. So they definitely took it in a really interesting direction. Again, also using a lot of chrome, maybe not as much as Ram, but it's big, it's bold, and it's very Ford. And that's not a bad thing. Especially this, I think it's King Ranch Edition. It's got that bronze lower portion. And you can do a two-tone with Ram as well. But the one that they decided to show on the chassis cab is all chrome. But when you look at it and that thing is coming at you down the highway, you get out of its way. The only way I'm getting out of the way of a Ford, this is kind of funny. I was in a very bad accident a long time ago involving a Ford F-350. And I think it had either the big turbo diesel that they had, which had like 850 pound-feet of torque, or it was the big V10 that they still use or don't. I don't know. It's been a while. The power stroke, 6.7 liter. That's what it was. 6.7 liter power stroke turbo diesel. That son of a bitch hit me at full throttle. The dude floored it out of a parking lot to try and cross one lane of traffic to the next, and he T-boned me with all of that torque going right into the side of my 2013 Dodge Caliber. 2007 Dodge Caliber RT, and my car held up. If you consider being split in half, held up. I'm alive. And I always get out of the way of F-150s, not because of the way they look, just because I don't like being destroyed by them and dominated by that. The GMC is just the truck that if it's behind me, I'm going to look at it and admire it, whether that's good or bad. It's fun. The Silverado, I don't know. It's cool. I really like the fact that they introduced color into the front end coming from the fenders. But, now if you go on autoblog.com, they actually have something, a section under, what is it called? It's like their Chicago Auto Show mega gallery. If you go down, there is a section that's all grills for the trucks, and they show you all the different trim levels grills, and you can compare and contrast. And I think you should spend some time there looking at, what differentiates them. The car company that just missed the mark completely was Toyota. Toyota on the Sequoia and on their big truck, they didn't do anything different to the grill. They changed the texture in the middle of the grill, and they put in these two little black pieces to separate the bottom portion and the top portion. But it's like they just gave up. This is an old body, and we put a lot of black accents everywhere, and then a lot of red accents everywhere. And, there you go, TRD, sport, go. The other thing I wanted to talk about real quick is tailgates. And this is becoming a point of real excitement right now, because GMC showed off a multifunction tailgate that folds completely down. So I guess it goes 180 degrees, and then, without hitting the lower bumper. And then it also has a midsection that folds down. So if the tailgate's all the way up and this little midsection pops down, then you have like a little tray. The truck bed's still open, and you could put maybe 2x4s, really long ones, to come through that midsection. That way, they're not sliding all around in your truck bed or whatever. So that's smart. And then if you kick that thing all the way down, the tailgate all the way down, that midsection now folds up in the other direction to create a step. A lot of the truck bed actually has some carbon fiber, some aluminum, some really other high-end, high-strength steel. So it's very and it's also powered. So it's very multifunctional, and it has a lot of really good uses. It's very smart. It's very durable. And I think it's one of those design features where a product designer really came in and said, we need to do something more with a tailgate. What can we do? Ram decided to go in a slightly different direction There had been spy shots of this, but nobody knew for sure how it was going to be divided. Was it going to be a 50-50? Was it going to be a 60-40 or some, you know, other measurement of such? And what they ended up coming up with is a 60-40 split tailgate. So when you pull the handle from a certain section, it pulls the tailgate all the way down like a traditional tailgate. When you pull the tailgate from there's a smaller point in there, it swings open the tailgate, the larger portion of it, the 60% portion of it. And then there's another handle inside the 40% portion of it that swings that open. So it's like barn doors. Or is it French doors or barn doors? I don't remember. I think it's barn doors. So they open, swing. And then, like I said, it can go all the way down. I don't know if you can lower one individual piece. It doesn't look like you can. But the fact that you can split the tailgate in two different ways, and then they have this deployable, powered deployable, mind you, step underneath the truck, much like Ford and GM have had, you have this really durable, rugged truck bed. And now this extended cargo capacity with that kind of extendable frame thingy. I don't know what that's called. It's like a fence. And then you can, you know, open and close it in many different ways to fit different items in there. I have no idea what this thing costs. It's probably a pretty penny over the standard tailgate, but GMC's is really expensive. That is a very expensive option. So, and it's not standard either. Neither of these are standard. Coming up here on 22 minutes, the last thing I wanted to get to before we cut the show off is the Nissan Rogue Sport. If you guys know what I'm talking about, it is a has been sort of boring, you know, also ran type crossover that Nissan has, and I've never really been a fan of it. Not only because it just looks just kind of simple, you know, there's nothing loud about it. There's nothing super expressive about it. It's just a crossover to fit that segment. And, you know, it is what it is. It's not a bad car. It's a very good car. It's built well. It doesn't perform in any way, shape or form other than with, you know, fuel economy is pretty good, and it's got a lot of room. But the name, Rogue Sport, it was just lazy to me. The Qashqai is the name of it in other countries, and they didn't bring it here as that name, under that name, because they felt like we couldn't say it, pronounce it, understand it. We would never know that it was a Nissan kind of thing. And personally, I think we would know exactly that it was a Nissan because Nissan has used names like Juke, Kicks, and a couple other weird names. So Qashqai, please somebody let me know exactly how you pronounce that. Seemed right at home to me. But now we get the refreshed 2020 model, which, oddly enough, is what they have been selling in other countries as the Qashqai for a little while now, past couple of years. So we're getting their new design from 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We're getting it now. But to be fair, it does a whole hell of a lot of good for the design. The headlights are new. They have a new signature lighting. They're not real simple check marks like they used to be. The daytime running lights are a very bright streak that comes through the lower grille or the flanking vents on the side. And then the fog lights are all the way down at the bottom. So I think these fog lights are actually going to do what they're supposed to do. The only thing I don't like about the Rogue Sport for this year, for the 2020 model, is the interior. Interior is all black. And I know we've talked about this before. But I gotta say it, automakers and designers alike, stop making all black interiors. Why? Because you design these elegant cars and you put loud colors on the outside so we can see it and we can be like, oh, that's my car. But we don't live on the outside of a car. We live on the inside of the car. And because of that, we need to have more colors that speak to our personality or to how we feel on the inside as well. Just having an all black interior is very dull and more. Think about if you had a room that was all black. What would that do to your psyche? What would that do to you? How would that affect you? It would probably be a very negative effect, much in the same way that hospitals and psych wards and a lot of other places don't have really vibrant reds and oranges as the sole color. You know, maybe as a color splash or a accent wall, but not as the whole thing. It would drive you insane. If you were to sit in there 24/7, you would probably murder somebody. We live in our cars now. And if we're talking about doing this whole autonomous bit, we're spending even more time in cars, not only in our commute, but we're traveling a lot more and, you know, just with family and stuff. And we're doing a lot more things that are further from our house. So if we're spending all this time in our cars, shouldn't we have an interior that is a little bit more emotionally driven and not void of any kind of emotion? I don't know. I feel like every time I get into an all black car, it takes a little bit of me away, and it breaks my soul, breaks my spirit. I will give them credit for putting padding on the knee bolster area where the shifter is, because, you know, I like to kick my knee out, and having a little bit of padding there does a lot of good. But I think Nissan, as a Japanese company, could learn a lot from Mazda and add some color, whether it's just simple red stitching or do some sort of like white seats with black accents or something. It's just, that's what's missing with a car that's supposed to be this fun and expressive. And I don't get it. What I do get is this. And
hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again.
Does this not make you want to cry or die a little bit on the inside? That's how I feel about getting into an all black interior. It's frightening and it's a dark, scary place. So that's it for Sketchbook Audio today. We're at 27 minutes and a half. Weather looks like it's pretty nice outside here in Detroit. So if you're in Detroit, go out and do something. If not, and you're going to stay inside, what are you going to be doing? Getting your sketchbook out. In fact, I have to do that myself today, and I have to do a little bit of research for a persona or a mood board, as it's called in some places, for a potential job I might be getting at Harley Davidson. Now, the only thing I've had so far is an interview, but they asked me to do this mood board for them, and I'm really excited to do it. I have to do some research on the Harley Street Glide. And it's a big bike. It's like a touring bike. Goes a little bit faster than your really big touring bike, but it's one of those it's one of those big bikes that, to, you know, they're ridiculously expensive, first of all. And second of all, it's not why I would buy a motorcycle personally. I want to buy a motorcycle that, you know, it's long, it's low, doesn't have all the extra saddles and stuff. It's just me and the road, you know. And I've always been inspired motorcycle wise by Ducati and like the Honda Repsol, Yamahas, just anything fast like that. And I know they're kind of back and forth between being like a street rod, which, by the way, I love the Harley, I think it's Knight Rider edition. Beautiful black bike with a little bit of orange or red accent, depending on the year. And I like those bikes, but I also like the crotch rocket type stuff. I just probably would never own a crotch rocket because I know me, and I would probably kill myself within the first riding experience. I see the guys who do like the handstands and stuff, and I'm like, that's stupid. You're going to get hit on the highway, and that would be me. Anyways, the clock is ticking down for me right now. I got 27, 26, 25 seconds. So thanks for tuning in, guys. I appreciate it. Feel free to shoot me a message, ask me some questions, but make sure you get those sketchbooks out. Make sure you're sketching a lot. Make sure you're doing research on the vehicles that you want to design. That research is key. And like always, be good to one another, and we will talk to you next time. Take care.